during this presidential campaign that has upended many time-honored traditions, another norm will be nullified on November 8th, Election Day. Voters itching to learn poll results as soon as possible will benefit from the analysis of longtime Philly area political operative Ken Smuckler. Ken, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Explain this effort called VoteCaster.
VoteCaster is a joint venture built by techies out in Palo Alto, folks that have been modeling Democrat and Republican presidential campaigns for the past few decades, based in D.C., and myself heading it up out of Philadelphia. Essentially, what we do is we do what campaigns have been doing for the past three decades on Election Day. They produce turnout tracking models and then send field operatives out on Election Day to targeted precincts to capture one piece of information, which is the total number of voters who have turned out in that precinct at any given time. And once you run that one piece of data against the models that they have produced, it will generate in real time a projected outcome at any time during the day.
Now, listeners familiar with pre-election polling always hear it in the context of margin of error. You're not even alluding to any margin of error in this case.
No, because we're not sampling voters. We're not asking voters questions and then extrapolating based upon their answers as to how they're going to vote. We are making assumptions about how voters are going to vote based upon their demographic profile, including where they live, and historic vote performance in those areas among those demographic profiles.
This is the first time the endeavor will be tried on a national scale, although I understand there is precedent in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we did it as a proof of concept way back in 2003 with
a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a perfect race to do turnout tracking models because it was the Cat Street reelect. We had just had the same race 4 years ago. It's pretty easy to model off of two of the same candidates in essentially the same electorate. So I did it with with another radio station in Philadelphia, projected outcome throughout the day. And I think we proved that you could run this kind of program and project outcome that at the end of the day proved to be correct.
So here's where it's upending tradition. To date, news organizations typically refrain from releasing early results, especially in battleground states. You're dispensing with all of that. In fact, I understand you'll have results as early as 6 a.m. Election Day.
Well, it's possible you could have results in Colorado only because Colorado is entirely a vote-by-mail state. So if you had all of the votes cast before, or 98% of the votes cast before Election Day, and you knew where those votes were coming from, and you had our models working, you could theoretically make a determination before any polls open across the country as to how Colorado voted. Colorado is a battleground state. Whether, in fact, we can do that will be based upon what our performance numbers are for Hillary and Donald Trump in Colorado about 10 days before the election. So, for example, if Hillary looks like she's winning on our own proprietary survey research in Colorado, if we find that Hillary is up 10 points on Donald Trump, and then we now know where all the votes have been cast in Colorado, so we know demographically and geographically where they're coming from. Assuming that our models are where the votes are coming from, Hillary should win by 10 points. So that's kind of how it works.
One substantiation for the tradition that you are upending is that it might act to suppress voting if it's perceived that, well, what difference does it make? The election results are already in.
To me, it's one of the most ironic parts of this whole project is 30 years ago on an election day, Ronald Reagan was called the winner in a presidential election against Jimmy Carter. So you have John Chancellor, NBC, calling the race well before the polls closed in California. And so you had legislators in California, the down ballot legislators, right? So you had all the members of the House, and then you had the state legislators, right? They're now believing that voters won't come out to turn out for the presidential, and if they don't come out for the presidential, they may not come out and vote for them. So there was a hue and cry after that election. In fact, some members of Congress wanted to ban exit polls altogether, which runs contrary to the First Amendment, which the Congress quickly found out. And so the networks decided on their own, because they're in a highly regulated business and regulated by Congress, they decided on their own to come together and join a consortium, which essentially for the last, you know, three, four decades has said, we're going to embargo data that we have from the American public because we believe this data is too dangerous for the American public to have. I mean, the irony is that we treat this data like Edward Snowden NSA data, as though there's something that is so dangerous about this data and so dangerous about delivering it to the American public that it would somehow undermine democracy. Our position is quite the opposite. Our position is that particularly with millennial voters who see very little connection between their vote and an outcome, if you can show them in battleground states actually how the votes are moving so that people on Facebook or on Twitter or, you know, are Snapchatting, know where their friends are and know that, you know, perhaps their friends live in communities where the candidate they support is underperforming, we can use this data to energize voters and actually energize democracy. So it's a fundamental disconnect between kind of the establishment or the legacy media approach to this data and where VoteCaster is.
So one of the battleground states you're focusing on is Pennsylvania. And for argument's sake, if it looks like Hillary is ahead there, there's still this key Senate race with Toomey and McGuinty.
Yeah, and we will be tracking toss-up Senate races under most of our targeted battleground states. And that's what you're going to see. It's one of the neat things about VoteCaster on Election Day is you'll be able to look at the difference in turnout numbers, not just at a statewide level, but drilling down into the counties. So you will see where Hillary is performing better than Donald and perhaps where Katie McGuinty is performing, perhaps underperforming to Toomey in the state. So you're going to be able to compare the presidential numbers at any given time with the Senate numbers and see perhaps where Hillary's voters are voting for Hillary, but they're dropping off and not voting for McGuinty. That's the kind of interplay between the Senate race numbers and the presidential numbers that voters have never seen before on Election Day.
So November 8th, how does one learn of the efforts of VoteCaster?
Right. So we will have all of our data up on Slate.com. It will not be behind any kind of paywall. So anybody will be able to go to Slate.com and see our data from the moment we post straight through till when we stop posting, which will be all throughout the day. They'll be able to go up by state, drill down by county, and see all of our numbers as the numbers are moving. We are going to be mounting a war room at ViceNews.com, which should be streaming all of our backroom efforts in generating this data. And we are talking with folks like Snapchat about pushing their video and curating their video streams in with our data on Election Day.
Is part of the calculus, and I'm asking you to what extent you subscribe to the notion that when you have a candidate as divisive as Trump, many are reluctant to disclose that they will move in that camp until they pull the curtain.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, particularly in this town, there was this Rizzo effect. And I remember quite well because I was involved in Good Rizzo, where Wilson Good was polling in double digits prior to Election Day and ends up only winning by less than 2 points on Election Day. And the theory was that the survey research was never getting an accurate read on Rizzo voters because Rizzo voters were not comfortable telling third-party research operations that they were voting for Rizzo. There is some of this sense in Trump that there is this reticence to, particularly among some Trump voters, to acknowledge their Trump affiliation. It's one of the things that we have to work through in terms of doing our survey research to try and project outcome correctly.
Ken Smuckler, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks for having me, Dave.